Sean said, "You must be preaching this morning. You got your preaching pants on." I even told him I put on them shiny shoes too. Well, I threw all the way all the odd collar ones, so I only had one collar, so it didn't matter how I matched them up. They was all the same collar. Yeah. Oh, man, what a great place to be this morning. I was sitting there thinking, you know, I was a little sluggish this morning. Debbie and I was out last night. I was up past 8 o'clock and everything else, and we never got home to midnight, but we gathered with some old friends of mine that been Christian brothers for many, many years. We was rowdy boys too, but the Lord brought us back and put us where we need to be. And it was real good to sit and talk with them. But we was, you know, at 10 o'clock, everybody was starting to yawn and lean around a little bit. And we was talking about, yeah, remember when we could burn the candle on both ends and we couldn't even get it lit last night, you know? So I'm thinking, well, I thought that'd be good to break the mood this morning, because we can be happy in the Lord. We need to be happy in the Lord. Is there anything can make us happier? Is there anything can make you happier this morning? Ask yourself that. I'm sitting there listening to this, and we got to be encouraged by the efforts of these young ladies. We got to be encouraged by the songs that they sang. I'm thinking about the foundations that our youth have, is what Belinda, I had a long talk with one of my good, he's been a mentor to me for many years when I was a young feller, leading me to the Lord, and he was the one to help me to understand faith. I grew up in church, I knew about God, and I knew all this and that and this and that, and you had to be good enough, but he taught me faith, that I realized that I couldn't be good enough. Not a one of you can be good enough. Amen. Our faith is in the one that was good enough. Amen. Faith in Jesus Christ. So that's kind of what we're going to, topic we're going to go after here this morning is, I'll just read the scripture. We're going to start out in Acts chapter 26, be reading verses 24 through 29. Acts chapter 26, verses 24 through 29. And it says, "And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom I also speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner." Verse 27 says, "King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds." Let us pray here this morning. Lord, we humbly bow here before you again on this beautiful morning you've given us, the beautiful sunshine out there, and it shows your glory and your ultimate power. And we want to praise you this morning and give you the glory that you deserve, that you alone. We ask for you to humble us here this morning and help us to soak in your word. Let the Holy Spirit move freely among us. And I ask for you to get me out of the way here this morning, Lord. May your word proclaim each and everything. I do ask for you to be with our pastor today. We lift him up to you. And these favors we ask in Christ's name. And amen. Now, building up to that statement, to verse 24, Paul's in captivity. Paul's being judged for preaching the gospel of Christ. So he's been brought forth before these two rulers, so to speak, and he is standing firm. He is proclaiming Christ. One day, reason I emphasize this here, most of all, because one day you may stand before somebody on this side of heaven and you may have to defend your faith. Now, Paul defended it, okay? Paul defended it vehemently. If you go back and you read the entire chapter of verse 26, you'll see where he was on the road to Damascus. You'll see where Jesus called him to be an apostle, and he received it. And the key right here is he preached the gospel to those gentlemen right there, and they were hierarchy people. We get intimidated sometimes by people of authority, but we can't be doing that. We serve one that is the most authority. He has authority over any ruler on this earth. And I don't mean to disrespect. We are to respect the laws of the land. We are to respect those that are in charge. We are to pray for those. But we also are to preach the gospel. We are also to share the hope that we have. As I was sitting there earlier, I was thinking about the world has no hope at all. And we're gonna see right here. It was John Arnold. You've heard me mention his name, and he wouldn't care that I mentioned his name. We talked again last night about so many things concerning our Christian life, concerning the way things are today, concerning the foundations that our children are being taught that don't support God's Word. So I thought we'd go back to the first act of God that is recorded in Genesis chapter 1. You can turn there if you want, but everybody knows God created the heavens and the earth. I'm going to just read a few of the scriptures. I take the Word of God at its word. At His Word. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's enough. You know, I'm going to talk over where He created all things in 6 days. But in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's enough for you, ain't it, Miss Patty? That's enough. That's enough for us. But He's going to go on to show us His power and His authority. And the reason I'm getting at this, last night we were talking what the world's teaching that, oh no, that's not real. Oh no, that can't be real. Try to figure out what they're saying. Try to make that make any sense at all. I've done this before. If evolution were true, and one of the sayings about evolution, if it's true, if you were a carpenter, you would have grew that third arm by now. If evolution was true, right? Because evolution says you'll develop what you need. Well, how many people's tried to drive a nail standing on a ladder with one leg hooked around something else and lean out there? You can't do it without that third arm. All right? Okay, so evolution was true. These are two. John Arnold, he's real smart. He knows about all them atoms and molecules and all this stuff, and he was explaining, and I'm not even going to try. I'll keep her simple. These two toothpicks didn't make nothing, did it? And I bet I could stand here and throw them a zillion, kabillion times, and there ain't going to be nothing more than two toothpicks. Correct? Agreed? Everybody agree with that? That's where evolution's at, right there, right there. The Big Bang Theory and all that's right there, laid in the floor. Yeah, right, yeah. So, but he was explaining to me, in some cases, Christians are starting to put that into their foundation, their doctrine about the Big Bang and this and that and this and that, and there's no place for it. There is none. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Take Him for His Word. That's what we got to do. I'll use them later. Verse 2 says, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." He created and there was nothing there. He done it. He done it. Let's take him at his word. Verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, he didn't say nothing about a Big Bang Theory. He didn't say nothing about this or that or anything else. Let there be light, and there was light. My emphasis, and I'll not get through them all. My emphasis is going to be the power of God. We got to realize the power of God. His authority is over anything the smartest man on this earth can comprehend in his mind is nothing compared to God. Okay? It says, he confounds the wise with the simple. Man, I'm a simple man. And I'm going to take God at his word all the way to heaven. All the way to heaven. Because he promises me that in his word. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I can't emphasize that enough. Made me think about that when I wrote down the God's first act. Remember when they canceled school because of an act of God? A snowstorm, a rainstorm, a tidal wave, all kinds of stuff. They don't refer to that anymore as an act of God. But it is an act of God. They try to explain that away. They are led by the deceiver. Okay, as we go on. So, I'm going to talk just a little bit about what Paul might have preached to those two gentlemen. Now, we know the Ten Commandments is in Exodus 20, verses 3 through 17. And thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make any graven image. Thou shalt do unto others as have others do unto you. Thou shalt do this and do that and do this and do that. Do you know the Ten Commandments? Because that one wasn't even in there. We watched a show the other day, Little House on the Prairie. Anybody know that show? Oh, it was a great show. That's a good show to watch, young man. That show, the oldest daughter went to this community to teach, and they had run off all kinds of teachers, and there was this one woman that caused a lot of problems. Well, they get there, and nobody can read, and she's got them all stirred up, and she don't want them children to read. And then she finds out the woman that's causing the trouble can't read. So she has been leading them under the guise of God, and she couldn't even read the Ten Commandments. That girl, the oldest Ingalls girl, read them, and she throwed one in there. It wasn't even there, like the third one. And nobody knew that wasn't in there. So that's why we got to be ready. We talked about that this morning. Paul taught, know your word. Know the word of God. Satan is wanting to tell all you young people all kinds of things. He does. And he's wanting to take away from God created the heavens and the earth. We've got to build our lives around that. We've got to build our relationships around that. We've got to build our character around the fact that God created the heavens and the earth. Agreed? That's it. That's where we got to start. That's where this world needs to be. That's where we got to stand as Christians. We got to stand firm on that God created the heavens and the earth. I can't emphasize that enough this morning. Okay, the Ten Commandments. We talked about them the other day, and they were written to show us our sin, to show us that we can't be good enough. And Paul's preaching this to these two gentlemen. In Romans 3:23, and I'm going to jump around quick, but a lot of you will know these, but Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's pretty clear. Okay, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Okay, now we know all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, how many is all? Who is all? That'd be me. All. Okay, pretty clear. Not too much room for debate there, who that includes. I'm sure somebody will try to debate that, but it's pretty clear all is everybody. So he's convincing these two powerful men. There is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 10, 9. Pretty clear, none righteous, none. Didn't say nobody that's black is righteous. Nobody that's white is righteous. Nobody that's Italian. You know, he didn't specify. He said all of us. All of us. None of us are righteous. And he must have been pretty convincing. Because remember when Agrippa said, Paul, thou almost persuadest me. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. And death, what is death? Eternal separation. The wages of sin is eternal separation from God. Okay? So, here we are. In the beginning, God created. We've heard the law that we can't be good enough. We know there is none righteous, no, not one. All fall short of the glory of God. And the results of that is total separation from the Creator of all things. Now, who do you want to be buddies with in this picture here? Who do you want to be on the good side of in this picture here? I would think it would be God. Amen. Don't you? Now, I would think the world would be chastened to be in the will of God, to be on His team, so to speak, for lack of a better word, to be His. But up to that point, everything we've talked about and everything we've learned so far and what Paul has preached to Agrippa and Festus was there's no hope. There's no hope. And we're going to see. Obviously, he got Agrippa's attention. Have I got your attention this morning? Amen. Has the Word of God got your attention this morning? Making us realize without Him, we don't have one iota of hope. Without Him, we're no different than any lost person around. Now he starts preaching. Now he's going to preach Jesus to him. There is hope, Agrippa. You have hope. Do you remember when you realized about that hope? Somebody was preaching to you. Somebody was maybe teaching to you. Somebody was just sitting with you in a chair and talking to you about Jesus and what He's done and what He is. In John chapter 14, verse 6 says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Okay, he emphasizes who He is. And what does he go on to say? I'm telling you, Jesus is saying, I'm telling you, this is who I am. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No man coming unto the Father but by me. Doesn't sound too debatable there, other than if you want to say, well, I'm a woman. Well, man is everybody. Man is God's creation. We're both in the human form of man. Man was created. Mankind. How's that? How's that? Everybody fits under the guise of mankind. And that's what he said. Nobody on this fleshly earth can get to heaven except through Jesus Christ. And there again, that's what Paul is preaching to Festus and Agrippa. And you know what? That's what we can do too. You know, we're on an equal playing field with Paul. I used to think, man, Paul, he's great. He's the same as me. He was lost. He was the chiefest of sinners, he would tell you. And that he persecuted you and me and us. And yeah, we would probably at the time considered him the chief of the sinners. But look what God done for him through Jesus Christ. That's the message that we got to preach. That's the foundation we've got to stand on. Okay, next step. He's talking to Festus and Agrippa. Confession. Romans 10:9. This is real important right here. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Jesus is showing him how you can bridge that gap. You can close that separation. You can have the opportunity. Because without Jesus, I don't care who you are, who you think you are, where you're from, whatever. You have no opportunity to go to heaven. Without Jesus. Without Jesus. We've been talking a lot about without Jesus. Without faith, works is dead. Works won't do nothing for us. We can't be good enough. We got to have Jesus. Repentance. What is repentance? Okay, I'll read the scripture. Acts 3:19 says, "Repent ye thereof, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Repent is turn away. Be converted means to be changed. Confess the sins that held you back, and turn to Him. So, we're at, we went 10 commandments, all have sinned, no righteous no, not one. Wages of sin is death. Jesus is the only way. We need to confess our sin, confess Jesus. We need to repent. Commitment. Commitment. Now, I'm going to get after us all today on our commitment. The church is failing today, and I'm not saying Drift Run Church, but we as individuals, part of the body of Christ, are failing in our commitment to Jesus Christ. We're failing in our commitment to serve God. Agreed? Agreed. Look around our country. Look, and we can look in our history. If Christians were committed to Jesus Christ and Him alone, we wouldn't have so many different denominations. We wouldn't have so many problems, quarrels going on because their commitments have been towards other things and not Jesus Christ. As well as the commitment in our personal lives at home. John 3:16, everybody knows that. For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I've told you all before, the word believeth in the Greek means to be committed to. Are you committed to Him this morning, or do you just give Him a little time once in a while? And that's truth. You know, I'm not here to browbeat anybody. I don't know anybody's heart. Don't think for a minute that I'm thinking that I do. You know your heart. You know your commitments. Our pastor will preach to us, you'll do what you want. That's where our commitments are. If you want to serve the Lord, you can. But if you want to be a slacker, you can. I wrote a few notes down this week. And you remember that it was a satellite dish commercial about the settlers? Anybody remember seeing that? You settle for cable. Or you can have all this, the fancy stuff, but being a settler, I was thinking, are we settlers for Christ? Do we just settle on just what part we want? We don't want to do that, God, but we'll do this, but we don't want to do that. But I'd like to do that. I wrote these down. Are you a part-timer or a full-timer in your Christian walk? Are you? Are you a sometimer or an every-timer? Yeah, sometimes I'll do this, sometimes I won't. Hey, are you willing to, every time the Lord moves upon you and gives you an opportunity, are you willing? Are you willing? Are you a short timer or a long timer? Well, I'll do it today, but I don't know about tomorrow. Commitment. Commitment, long term. Once upon a timer? Hey, I did back then. Or are you a real timer? Live in a real world. You live in right now. Live for Jesus right now, today, this very minute. Okay, we can't change nothing back there. We can't change a thing. But you know what? From this second on, we can commit to Jesus Christ. We can commit to serving Him 100% wholly and completely in everything that we do. So I'm going to ask that they come and get a song. I'm going to ask you this morning, is anybody here ever been almost persuaded and not responded to the call of the Lord on your heart? Like I say, I don't know if anybody's lost, but if you're lost, I'm telling you, today is the day of salvation. Right now, this very minute, you could come up here and you could be saved. John Arnold was telling me a story last night. A guy was preaching in a revival, and he preached and made the altar call, and he could see this lady in the back. She was under strong conviction. Strong. And he went and talked to her. He said, ma'am, would you like to go up front and get saved? Oh, no, I can't. I just can't go out in front of all these people. I can't do it. Well, back again the next night, same scenario. Oh, I just can't. I just can't let go of this pew. I can't step out. Third time he went back and talked to her and said, ma'am, would you like to go up front and get saved? She said, yes, I will. He said, you can get saved right here then. Soon as she made that commitment, right there, you can get saved right here in that pew. Amen. This is a holy place to come and ask Jesus to come into your life. But you can do it right there in your seat this morning. You can do it right now. It's a personal thing between you and God. But it's that commitment. Are you willing to step out for Jesus this morning? Are you willing to step out on your faith? Are you willing to step out and say, I am a Christian? Amen. Not in an arrogant way, but in a confident way that my Father in heaven, He is the Creator of all things. What better place to be? I think it was said a while back, talking about different religions, I don't remember which religion it is, but you come back as something better. You're reincarnated. What could be better than this? Heaven. And you wouldn't come back from there. I sat there in my pew that night when I heard it. I thought, I wouldn't want to come back and be nothing else. I wouldn't. There's nothing better than being a Christian and having the joy. I could come back at a lot of other things, have some fun, but I would not have that joy in my heart that I feel today. I wouldn't trade it for anything. I hope you're at that point in your life. And if you're not, now would be a good opportunity to step out and make that commitment of faith. Accept Jesus into your heart. Because He wants to come in. Amen. He'll come rushing in. And you'll know the difference. Amen. You'll know it. And people around you will see the difference. It's a good place to be. I told my doctor one time, I'm not afraid to die. And he said, you know, that's a good place to be. And I said, that's the only place to be. Because you're gonna. In closing, listen to this. This will affect every person in here, saved, lost, whatever it might be. Philippians 2:11. Yeah, Philippians 2, 9, I'm going to read 9 through 11. And in closing, think serious about this. This is to each and every one of us. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted Him, Jesus, and given Him a name which is above every name, Jesus, that at the name of Jesus, every includes who? Every knee should bow, and of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. That's everything. That every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You know what? I'm telling you, if you haven't been saved, you're going to confess Jesus as Lord. Now, a little advice here. You want to confess Him as your Savior and not confess Him as your judge. You can make that decision here this morning. If you're not saved, if maybe you've thought you're saved and maybe not, but we're right now, is a great opportunity to accept Him or make that full commitment and confess that Jesus is Lord in your life right here this morning. as they get a song.